Lord, we're still in waters to the ankles, most of us. I am anyhow. We want to move to waters to the knees, and then to the loins, and then into total abandonment. That, Lord, this generation may see something that no generation has ever seen. Lord, we need a super Pentecost, again a Pentecost throughout Pentecost, Pentecost. Lord, we're tired of the devil's dominion. You see, there's no discipline today. We say we're disciples, but disciple is a offspring in the sense of discipline. But I know this, that every man who's moved for God has been a disciplined man. Why do you fast while they're feasting? Why are you so lonely when they and rejected while they're so acceptable? Why do you discipline your life like this? Oh, I heard people say, oh, I've tried Christian, it doesn't work. I tell something else, it never will either. Well, don't you preach it? No, I don't preach Christianity, I preach Christ. People are disgusted, it doesn't work, I don't have life, I don't have power. I keep stumbling, falling, this, that, and the other. I'm not saying it. We'll never fall, but he's got to get full control of my life. It's not going to the altar and somebody whispering in my ear and saying the sinner's prayer. It's staying there till a miracle happens. How in God's name can somebody come to the altar? I heard of a meeting the other day. They said dozens of young people, children came forward, teenagers came forward, and a few elders. And oh, it was such a wonderful meeting. 60 or 70 will say, I don't believe it for a minute. Don't believe 1% will say. If a man realizes he's broken the heart of God, is he going to just whisper something and shed a tear and go away and be no different? A man that passes from death unto life has a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind, a new interest. If any man be in Christ, Paul says in what? 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God isn't in the business of patching men up, he's in the business of making men new. As Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified, not I was, I am. He stayed there. And again, in the Protestant churches and evangelical churches, the altar is becoming what the Roman Catholic confessional is. Just a confession of sin, but that doesn't save anybody. I don't believe many people have repentance. They have remorse, but remorse is not repentance. They feel sorry what they did, sorry they got caught, sorry they didn't do this right, sorry they didn't do that, but repentance is turning actually in an entirely different way. The first word of John, the first word of Jesus, the first word on the day of Pentecost in that preaching was repent. 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 In the 1600s, when you had those colossal men with super intellect, but not only that, a super concept of the holiness and majesty of God. And yet they went to buildings, they had no light in them, they had no heat in them, they had no cooling system in them in summer. The chairs had no backs on them, they had no choir, they had no music, they didn't know a thing about altar calls. And yet the Holy Ghost came and changed whole communities. When the Spirit of God came in 1742 through that amazing man Jonathan Edwards, he said you could see going down the street grief on the faces of people. Their features were distorted with conviction. You never see that. People come to the inn, shed a tear and go back smiling and everybody's happy. They can't even get home to thank God. They stop at a hamburger shop and get fed up with that stuff. They should be going home to magnify the Lord, but they don't do that. But you see, we've lost this concept of His Majesty. We can do so much. Leave all the gimmicks and all the gadgets. A New York newspaper said a few years ago, we have an electronic church now. That's our trouble. We have an electronic church. The church today is electronic. In the days of the apostles, it was electrifying. And there's a big difference. I get angry when I hear people saying, church is so dead. How can it have a dead service if the living Christ is in it? Our preachers are echoes today. They're borrowing. There's nothing new from heaven. We're called soldiers of Jesus Christ. We had a great preacher in England who said, every morning I get up, I stand at the side of my bed and I salute my captain and say, you're the captain of my salvation, order my life today. What do I do? Where do I do? The only thing that makes me so angry is that people have gone to church for years and they haven't a spark of divine life. They've never passed from death unto life. They made a prayer, got baptized, paid a tithe, and that's where it stopped. Here it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, doth not habitually commit sin. It's not inability to sin, again, it's ability not to sin, and there's all the difference in the world. Boy, I tell you, when Peter was preaching, they felt he was shooting live arrows into their hearts. That's the man who ran away when a girl said, you belong to him. He says, I didn't. He lied about it. And now he's bold with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He has the love of God shed abroad in his heart. He has the power of the Spirit in his heart. And he says, you crucified the Lord of glory. Well, every person even that goes to church these days, to some of these fancy churches, they walk in and they come out exactly as they went in. They go to the altar dead, they get up dead. They've said a prayer. So hot. I'm convinced that preaching the gospel is the greatest challenge in the world today. We're talking to people who are dead. I'm desperately sick of this modern evangelism. And you know, you can argue, you can have lectures, you can be logical, give terrible illustrations, but only God can get people alive. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. They're not bad, many of them. Some are morally very good. Some have excellent standards of morality, but they're dead. They have no relationship to God. I'm so desperately concerned that these men are leading people to hell. He has no hideous record of breaking the law, the Ten Commandments. And we've got to pray. He is the God that wakes the dead. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens you, you come alive in him. There's a day, when moment when we consciously pass from death unto life. If people say, you say, are you born again? I don't know. Well, they're not saved. The world was a big blur. If you like, it was a lump of clay in the womb of the universe. And the spirit brooded over it. And out of chaos came cosmos. Out of death came life. That same Holy Spirit that brooded over creation, brooded over the dead womb of a young woman, and brought forth the Christ of God. That same Holy Spirit, if you and I are born of God, that same Holy Spirit had to do that work in us. I don't know if I'm saved or not. If a man is in a black room, dark room with no lights, and you bring him into this room, would he know he'd come out of darkness into light? If he's carrying 100 pounds on his back and you lift it off, would he know if he'd lost it? Are you going to tell me that a man puts off the old man in his deeds and doesn't know he's done it? And not only put them off, but by an act of my will enabled by the Holy Ghost, because the blood has come to my heart and cleansed me, I can put on the new man. A crucified man's a horrible spectacle. At 6 o'clock at night, you could throw rocks on him, baptize him with fruit, curse him, do anything you like. But at 6 o'clock, immediately after the bell tolled in town, they left the crucifixion. Go there at 6 in the morning. What happened? The man has been eaten by a bird. They've pecked out his eyes. They've ripped open his body. His entrails are hanging out. Blood is running on the floor. There's nothing more horrible than a crucified man. But he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's nothing greater this side of eternity than you can say, Christ lives in me. Supposing somebody came and killed my brother, stabbed him with a knife. And I go up to him and say, excuse me, are you the man that killed my brother? Yes. Do you have the knife with you? Yes, it's here. And he shows me, he pulls out a sheath knife. And he said, I stabbed him so many times with this. He said, if you saw me handling that knife that was bloody, and knew he had murdered my brother, wouldn't you think I was a false man or a wrong man to make friendship with a man who'd murdered my brother? Well, the Lord says friendship with the world is enmity against God. You can't be friendly with this world. If the world can accept us, there's something wrong with us. Why do you expect better treatment from the world than Jesus got? There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who are dead to sin and those who are dead in sin. Unless there's a miracle happen, we're going to be the most diseased and corrupt generation in another decade than anybody since the Roman Empire fell. There's a big church in town where the pastor told me himself, he said that 50% of my congregation is divorced. Why? It's not that there's no fear of God in the man in the street, there's no fear of God in the pews, there's no fear of God in the pulpit. No fear of the majesty of God, no fear of the holiness of God, no fear of the wrath of God. We don't give people a chance to get born again at the altar. They don't get a haunting sense of sin. They don't feel it inside the Holy God. They don't feel the wrath of God is abiding on them. The more we know the holiness of God, the more reverent we'll be, the more humble we'll be before him. Let's be conscious every day that we're children of God. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to take my Bible notes, I'm going to teach them. I said, supposing they turn around and say, have you victory over sin? Have you victory over temper? Have you uncleanness in your life? Have you bitterness in your life? Have you envy in your life? Come on, are you a new creation? What God wants me to do is to live in total love for him, in desperate love for him, to see the world as he sees it, to pray as he prays. I pray more in the nights now than ever done in my life, I think. Glad to do it. Because I know time's running out on us. There's not much time. And I don't want to see my generation die, you young folk, without seeing a Holy Ghost revival that keeps the lights on in the church week after week after week after week, day and night. The whole meeting is pulsating with eternity. Adam's likeness now effaced, stamped by an image in its place. You know, it should be a radiant thing with us all the time. There's something about us. People say, hey, what's different with you? You say, what's different? Would you believe this? So many months ago I was dead and I came alive. What do you mean dead? I was dead in my relationship with God. I had no love for the Father. I had no love for His Word. I had no love for the body, for the souls of men and women. You see, if the Spirit of God dwelleth in me, He's the Spirit of love and the power of a sound mind. The Father's Spirit is the Spirit of forgiveness, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What does Abba, Father mean? I hear people say, oh, I say to God every day, well, Daddy. Well, if you do, you're an ignoramus. God's also said to me, can you imagine Elijah, or can you imagine Isaiah kneeling before the glory of God and saying, hi, Daddy? He's not a convenience, he's not just a helper, he's not just a redeemer, he's my very life. He puts longings in me for eternity. He puts longings in me to see the world changed by the power of God. You know, not just to call attention, but the joy that we have in the authority of knowing He is my Father. Abraham never said that. Moses never said that. David never said that. It's the privilege of us in the New Testament day, in this day, to say to this holy, magnificent, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, Father. We're a royal priest to the holy nation. We're not beggars. And it was all before them, and yet they saw Him not, they understood Him not, they received Him not. But Lord, that's no worse than our blind generation. It's no worse than our preachers that are blind leading the blind. It's no worse, Lord, than the earth which is so cursed with heresy and corruption and lying and falsehood. We're sinking in a sea of gross immorality and darkness and materialism and humanism. Lord God, we ask You to show us Your majesty. Lord, we have such a puny idea of You. We need our horizon stretching. We need our heart stretching to contain more. More love, more passion, more fervor, more vigor, more ambition. More holy hatred for sin and more love for a holy God. Very often the preachers preach about hell and they're going there themselves. We've got to be born. This miracle has to take place in us. We become new creations, entirely new. New appetites, new interests, new power, new authority, new vision, new desire. There's no miracle that's going to save America except a Holy Ghost visitation. It must be a divine intervention. And the sooner the better.